needs to happen in order to write and read on the paper.
So think about this too. Them telling me it was the first breakthrough for me was when they said, we have an introduction if we're writing in our own languages, and then we have this place where everything else goes. I was like, there it is right there. There's no organization. Everything goes there. There was never, about like it, but it has to relate back to the theme of the entire piece or the paragraph. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. If you don't know how to write a paragraph, you're up the creek, as my grandmother would say all the time, because you can't write the paragraphs to support your thesis, your essay. Here's what I love about it, though. Once they started seeing the pictures and things like that of the spaces and margins, the margins, the whole page tells you something. That was what I was trying to tell them. As a native English speaker, I can look at papers, student papers, and know a lot by and never read a word, because are the margins there? Are the spaces there? Is the title there? Are the sentences 30 words long, or are they 20 words long? Are they 50 words long, or are they chunked off into bites? We make judgments, great, even reading articles, if you think about it. We make judgments about what we're reading based on visual information, not words. If it's or if it looks organized, go ahead. What?
Well, and I was just going to say, I remember, like, because I love reading, but I remember as you get that stage where there's no pictures, and then you get that these paragraphs are really long, which was
Who, what?
already telling us, coming from that background, that the ideas were getting longer, possibly more complicated.
But you know what I wonder? Because after really studying a lot about this phenomena where I'm at, and also like why I've been breaking everything down, I was thinking about this too. It's like as we're reading things, it's like long paragraphs are intimidating to us as native speakers. Can you imagine what that looks like? Well, if the point is like that's what their essays look like. It's like this giant bloated middle. Instead of like spreading everything out into buckets, I use all kind of, buckets. You're only going to talk about this here. I love the part too, is like they want that only being able to talk about one supporting idea in one paragraph. Let's just say it's like for some of them, it's extremely hard because they know they want to say everything they know about it. That might be a way to get them involved, which is let them go to town. Like dogs are loyal, whatever. Dogs make great pets. They put down every, well, see, it's pretty that they don't know how to take the notes. Oh, I was teaching the writing process, and the idea that you would do some brainstorming like that was like, huh, what? They just start writing. And then on top of that, it was like revision, three revisions possibly.
Welcome to Encounters in the EAP Classroom, a podcast that reflects upon different experiences in the higher education English language classroom and provides thoughtful suggestions for both learners and instructors. I'm your host, Laura McNabb. Hi, and welcome. Thank you for joining me today. I recently had a conversation with Viviana Marcel, an English language teacher of many years and close colleague, who has been very focused on helping learners improve their writing skills. She talks about what she has found, what she has learned through trial and error, and what she intends for the upcoming 3 months in her teaching. As she teaches adults, she starts first at helping them learn about the purpose of writing as a communicative medium, then unlearn their previous writing approach, and finally relearn how to write communicatively, paragraph by paragraph. Let's listen.
My name is Viviana Marcel, and I have been a teacher abroad before the pandemic for about 10 years. I spent 8 years in China, and then I spent 2 years in Uzbekistan. And I was always interested in writing. That was the very first thing I taught when I got to China, and I wasn't expecting it, but I always liked writing, so I thought it would be fun, and it was a lot of work, but fun. And the same thing happened in Uzbekistan in my second year, where I discovered why everyone was really having problems with writing.
Yes, and this is a conversation that you and I have had numerous times over right. our years working together. And you've noticed from the get-go already is that the problems with the writing is not so much about students don't know grammar or students don't have big enough vocabularies, but that it's actually a much bigger context with more background to it than that.
I absolutely agree. I wish I knew in China what I really discovered in Uzbekistan, because I think as a new teacher abroad, and then even as a more experienced teacher in China, I assumed there was a lot of hardcore foundation for writing.
Right.
And because they could speak well, and because but the writing was never produced at the level it was supposed to be produced. And I know I found out why in Uzbekistan.
And that's what I want to talk about with you today. So yes, tell us, what have you discovered and been doing?
Well, my first year there in Uzbekistan, I noticed again that everyone was studying for IELTS. This is really where it became evident, because I would visit a lot of different places, and I was an examiner in China, an IELTS examiner, and I was very interested in this test just because it was interesting to me that everyone wanted to study, and they wanted, and it's a key to a better life. And so that was really what interested me, was these people studying so hard and getting such poor results. So when I was in Uzbekistan, same thing, they're all studying for IELTS, and every IELTS school or workshops I visited, you could see listening, speaking, and reading were high, just like in China, if the students were at that level, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then writing across the board, 90%+ of the time, if not higher than that, writing was just took a nosedive, horrible. So that got me interested in just the basic question, why? So my second year there in Uzbekistan at the university level, I loved my dean. He said, "You do what you want." And I'm like, yes. So it was amazing. So I created a document asking for a paragraph, a standard, you know, English paragraph. I'm from the United States. So what I learned as a child, I just wanted to know, could you write and it was very specific. And I gave them the topic, a simple topic. I didn't tell them anything about structure. I didn't ask them anything. The only thing I said was 45 to 65 words. I said, you know, you must, you know, address the topic, and I want one paragraph, one. Hmm. And I had 212 students. Now, to make sure that I knew what I had asked for, I had students translated into Russian, translated into Uzbek, and then get into groups and then generate. It took us like 2 days just to get through just those simple instructions. But I wanted to do that. So I handed out all of the papers, and they had an hour to produce one paragraph.
Right.
Now, out of 212, you want to guess how many, just 45 to, you know, 65 words, paragraph, topic sentence, supporting details, to closing sentence. That was really what I was looking for, but I didn't tell them. I wanted to see what they would create. How many of those did I get back?
Well, I want to say a high number, but I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe 20?
One.
Ooh.
Now, these are smart kids.
Yeah.
They're smart. They're very smart. They can talk a good game. They can read. They can speak. They can listen. But they had no foundation in writing. So I had really good relationship with the teachers at my university. And because they always wanted to learn too. These guys, these teachers were strong. You know, they really wanted to. And I went in there because they trusted me at that point. I told them what I told you. And then I said, "Why do you think this is so?" And they said, "Oh, because we don't know how to write." I mean, I had teachers tell me this. That they did not know how to write in English, and that they didn't teach it. They weren't taught it. And so I went, what? That's my professional answer, go-to answer all the time. But so I looked up the curriculum, and the curriculum was from, and we're not going to, this is say, that curriculum did not include writing. And it was created, grammar, words, pronunciation, vocabulary. It had everything except taking all of that and putting it on paper and organizing it into a communication, as we were talking about earlier. So anyway, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And this was a curriculum that's been used in that country for a long time. Let's just say that. Okay. Mm-hmm, so anyway, mm-hmm. I get agreement from teachers. I was asking all these questions. So let's just put that over here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when, because the problem is they fill out applications. They can't write the essays. They don't get high scores on IELTS. They cannot definitely produce papers.
Right. Right.
You know, so how, I mean, and I was like, you're kidding me. This is crazy. So I'm still working on this. Now the teachers wanted to know how to write. So we started doing workshops. The Department of State, I'm in the middle of a 3-phase program. Thank mm-hmm. you, Department of State, which is the first one was how to write a paragraph. And I'm teaching teachers now, and I produced this series for them, which is they all got copies of it. And it's just your basic academic paragraph with mm-hmm. structure and order. And many, many of them had no clue what the order and structure of a paragraph was. Like a good paragraph, you know, I know everybody's got opinions. So, but for them and where they are, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you need structure to start many things, just place to start.
Right.
And that's what I really was talking to them about. And so they were open to this. People were, my class, I wanted to cry. My class, when they produced their first paragraph, they were like crazy happy. And I tied it into how this helps them score higher on IELTS.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their need. I'm not going to apologize or say it should be like a higher cause or, but that test in TOEFL too, they need to know how to write it. It says in TOEFL, write a paragraph.
Right.
You will need to write four. They were very specific in TOEFL, write 4 paragraphs. And I'm going, they wouldn't be able to do it. But now we're in this process of educating teachers about the structure, the basic structure of how to write. So that's why they have problems where I'm at now.
So did you find out what did they think was the purpose of a paragraph? Or did they even have an
idea?
This is
a great question. Okay, here's what happened. So went to the teachers, and then I came back to the students, right? I came back to the students. I said, okay, do you write in your own language?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first. And they go, oh, yes. And I said, is there a structure in that? I said, I don't know. I don't speak Uzbek. I was telling the students this. I don't speak Russian. If you write in Russian, is there a structure? And they said, oh, yes, for essays, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and then in Uzbek, there was. So what I did was I took the board at the front of the room and I put English over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know the structure of an essay because they knew that hands down. Most of them weren't sure. And so the deal was you have an introduction. And usually you open it with a quote. That's what they've been told. So I put up their quote, introduction, right?
Right.
And then basically the next part of it was, and then you take all your other information and you put it right in the middle and then you're closing. And that was the structure. So then I compared it. In fact, before I compared it, I decided to do this because I'm kind of linear in the way I think. So I wanted to see something. So I said, you know, English has kind of a basic structure in general. I said, let's start with letters, right? Okay, you know the alphabet. And they said, yes, yes. I said, okay, so if you put letters together, what does that make? And they said, it took them a while. And they said, words. And I said, yeah. I said, okay, so if we take words and put them together, and then that some said sentences, some said phrases. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. so if you take these sentences and phrases and all this stuff and put it together, what do you get? Essay. Skipped right over paragraph, skipped every single one of them, skipped right over paragraph. And I went, this is it.
Right.
That middle part of the essay is all about, they're throwing stuff at their introduction. in no particular mm-hmm. order. That mm-hmm. was what was happening. That was, and I loved finding that out, because when I presented this to the teachers, they were like, that's it.
And I'm just thinking that that even makes sense. Like, if you think about with students, because that's really interesting to see that it's just the middle is where you put all the information. But like, even with new writers, the idea that the information, that we would sequence it, and why would you put this in, you know, and we talk about, well, do you go from most important to least important, or is it chronological, or, you know, geographical? This whole idea of it's not just three body paragraphs, but which right. one is first, second, and third.
And
so,
if I did research on I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I actually get excited talking yeah. about this. What I also found out was that I started doing, because I grew up in a culture, you did too. We had paragraphs. Right. We had to write paragraphs from mm-hmm. being a small child. So my thing was, okay, why is that important? Why did they force feed us that as kids? This is what I always thought of being force fed writing. At that time, I didn't like it. I was like, I don't want to do this, you know? So I was like, so anyway, though, do you know, I read so many articles about us being taught paragraphs was the gateway to critical / you know me, I like to call it complete thinking, because you got a topic. And here's what they do also in other countries who don't have foundations or in English, all that stuff that they're throwing into the middle of their essays, it's not necessary that it has anything to do with the topic of the essay. So while I introduced the paragraph, we also started having to play with, okay, I keep it really simple when I talk about dogs, why dogs make great pets. Mm-hmm. My aunt loves dogs. That doesn't have anything to do with why it's a great pet. So right. we had to spend time on that, honing down this. You can't just throw the kitchen sink at it, you know, mm-hmm, that you mm-hmm. So they really started thinking, and we did a lot of work on thinking activities. I like to think about kindergarten. How is this like this? How is it not like this? We were being prepped for, our prep for paragraphs started in early education, and they just don't have that. All the organizational skills necessary. Forget about having a pen and a piece of paper. You mm-hmm. need organizational skills.
Well, I'm just thinking about the categorization that we learned, yes. like from Sesame Street already.
Yes.
Visuals, exactly. You know, we put the pictures. These are the fruit. These are the animals. We're constantly categorizing and organizing. It's a more analytic mind, I guess, that we're preparing
and
or
we were
developing.
Having a conversation earlier about culture.
Yes.
Different cultures put more emphasis. And I always say, I'm not saying better or worse. I'm going to say it this way. Different cultures put more emphasis on what is organized and how it is organized. So if you're learning to, unless you're absolutely told that English is, you're going to have to think differently, maybe. Mm-hmm. Not better or mm-hmm. worse. I want to keep mm-hmm. saying that because I don't believe it. You have to think differently.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where it's important, as you said at the beginning, that most people that you're dealing with now, they're doing it for a test. They're doing it for an IELTS test or a TOEFL test.
Or they're doing it for their mandates from their education.
Right.
So even if they're just trying to publish, think about this. How can you even, you know, an article, a research paper that has structure on top of structure on top of requirements and structures. So if it's not a commonplace thing, if the type of structure required for publication and research publication and writing essays for applications, if that's not part of your culture, but you do it a different way, it's more than writing. It's communicating in it's another language almost. I don't know how to say it the best way.
I was just going to say, so the thing that I have noticed in students that I have worked with recently, they view writing as writing, and they don't see that the writing is actually communicating anything to a specific reader, and that a reader is basically looking for, and this is the thing, right, is that somebody reading something that's written in English is coming from a background of expectation that this will be written following a certain convention, so that I know to look for the introduction of the idea at the beginning, and then that you're going to develop and explore this idea and come to some conclusion at the end in a
Yes.
communication to the reader about this. That
so
it's
this
not
way.
Actually just a showcase of your vocabulary or a showcase
No.
of your, and this is a very like Anglo linear structure,
Right.
definitely.
Well, before you even get to the words, what I used to have them do was draw paragraphs, the shape.
Oh.
Because they had no, so, you know, we expect when we see, we know that if there's a space, if it's a block with a space and a block, that's a new topic. They don't know that. They haven't been told that. Then they weren't, they never understood that an indent meant new paragraph. If you're handwriting it, they didn't understand really why that it was a whole new topic in that next paragraph. It's fascinating. It is. And so they, some people really got into it as an art project because they need, well, think about this though. They're in an IELTS reading test. And they don't realize that they say what, you know, match the title to the, all the different paragraphs. They didn't understand the job of the topic sentence was to tell the reader that this space, all the words and sentences between that space and the next space, that's the only piece you're reading. You can get away with reading the topic sentence and match things up quicker. They did not understand that. I ran into this everywhere.
Which just goes to show, like, there's, like you're saying, there's even a spatial awareness that needs to happen in order to write and read on the paper.
So think about this too. Them telling me, it was the first breakthrough for me was when they said, we have an introduction if we're writing in our own languages. And then we have this place where everything else goes. I was like, there it is right there. There's no organization. Everything goes there. There was never, you know, about like it, but it has to relate back to the theme of the entire piece or the paragraph. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. If you don't know how to write a paragraph, you're up the creek, as my grandmother would say all the time, because you can't write the paragraphs to support your thesis, your essay. Here's what I love about it, though. Once they started seeing the pictures and things like that of the spaces and margins, the margins, the whole page tells you something. That was what I was trying to tell them. As a native English speaker, I can look at papers, student papers, and know a lot by and never read a word. Because are the margins there? Are the spaces there? Is the title there? Are the sentences 30 words long? Or are they 20 words long? Are they 50 words long? Or are they chunked off into bites? We make judgments great, even reading articles, if you think about it. We make judgments about what we're reading based on visual information, not words. If it's if it looks organized, go ahead. What?
Yeah. Well, and I was just going to say, I remember, like, because I love reading, but I remember as you get that stage where there's no pictures, and then you get that these paragraphs are really long, which was already telling us, coming from that background, that, you know, the ideas were getting longer, possibly more complicated.
But you know what I wonder, because after really studying a lot about this phenomena where I'm at, and also like why I've been breaking everything down, I was thinking about this too. It's like as we're reading things, it's like long paragraphs are intimidating to us as native speakers. Can you imagine what that looks like? Well, if the point is like that's what their essays look like. It's like this giant bloated middle. Instead of like spreading everything out into buckets, I use all kind of, you know, buckets. You're only going to talk about this here. I love the part too, is like they want that only being able to talk about one supporting idea in one paragraph. Let's just say it's like for some of them, it's extremely hard because they know they want to say everything they know about it. You know, that might be a way to get them involved, which is let them go to town. Like dogs are loyal, whatever. Dogs make great pets. They put down every, well, see, it's pretty, that they don't know how to take the notes. Oh, I was teaching the writing process. And the idea that you would do some brainstorming like that was like, huh, what? They just start writing. And then on top of that, it was like revision, three revisions possibly.
It's well, just, I was just thinking draft one is, throw it all on the page. because in draft two, we will start to cut it out and make decisions.
The pandemic interrupted my exploration of this topic until just recently again. And so I'm excited to get back in country there because the university I'm going to be back at, the teachers are very interested in this. So it's going to be interesting, very interesting.
So one last question on this topic then. Sure. Did they see the communicative purpose, like as they started to see what a paragraph was? Or do you think that's still kind of on the journey that you're on with this?
Before we started this, you were mentioning storytelling.
Yeah.
Well, in the culture, in the Uzbekistan culture, storytellers are fabulous people.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're very revered. You know, and you think about China mm-hmm. too. You know, yeah. those elders who tell those stories. And I always mm-hmm. bring it up. You know, it's one of the things I tell the IELTS when they're telling their part two, the story. Mm-hmm. I said, you be your grandfather, you be your grandmother, you tell that story. Because and they got that. See, they got that. About right. you could the grandparent would, you know, they tell the story about something and they would include smells and texture and fear and love, all those major things, you know, to make it real. And so I don't think they do see it. They see it as a means to an end, writing, because without that structure, understanding that structure, even how do we know what we're reading? I don't know how it would be for them, really. It's just painful almost, I bet.
My thanks to Viviana for joining me and providing us with plenty to consider and apply for our own teaching situations. And thank you also for joining me today. See you next time. Thank you for joining today. Encounters in the EAP Classroom is written, hosted, and produced by Laura McNabb. You can learn more about Laura and her teaching at her website, www.windowsoflife.com. If you have teaching ideas or would like to collaborate with Laura, she would love to hear from you. See you next time!